Yeah.
So it's Micah chapter 10, yes? The sad bit, he's still, well, even in that part he was describing some of the things he needs to sort out, but verse 1 of chapter 10, Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. Originally God had planted Israel in a beautiful place, mm-hmm. and he's talking about the northern kingdom in particular, but beautiful place, and the vine begins to spread and grows the fruit, yeah? So it got them off to a good start, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. As his fruit increased, he built more altars, and as his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's he doing?
Well, he's got all it over.
Yeah, the more he gets blessed, the more he starts turning to the idols.
Yeah.
It says, as the fruit increased, he built more altars. They said they were worshipping God, but they weren't.
Yeah.
And he says he adorned his sacred stones. They were probably these stones to the Baals and everything else.
Yeah.
But even if it was an altar, what's wrong with adorning the stones? Do you know?
Shouldn't do it.
Why not? It was in the time of Moses, when Moses says, when you build an altar, you use the stones you find, you don't start chiseling away and knocking bits off them and tootling them up. Yeah? They've got to be rough stones to make an altar.
Yeah?
Why?
Because you're making them pure.
It doesn't make any difference really, does it? About worshipping God.
It's about worshipping God, but why does twiddling the stones God doesn't want? It's man's effort.
Yeah.
You're contributing to God's worship, you see. You're doing your bit.
You're changing what he's
doing. God says, sacrifice means I'm paying the price for you, right?
Yeah.
Sacrifice is an offering to me to pay the price for you. I don't need and I don't want your contributions to your worship salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, don't be doing the stones. Anyway, that's one of the things they were up to anyway. Right, yes, verse 2.
Please.
Their heart is deceitful. And now they must bear their guilt. See, that's the real cause. Why did they go off the tracks? Because their hearts are wrong. Heart's wrong, yeah. And deceitful. What's the problem with a deceitful heart?
Lying.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's worse than that. A deceitful heart means you fool yourself.
That's
right. Yeah, you think it's alright?
No.
After a while, you've come to believe your own lies. Yeah,
quite.
And now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. So that's what's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They can build, but they're not going to last. They're going to go. Yeah. Then they will say, we have no king because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? So the time's coming when they're going to realize they've lost it all because they didn't revere the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when sense begins to dawn.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad, brothers and sisters? And maybe there's a great lesson for us here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you appreciate what you've got? Or does the Lord have to take it away before you realize? Yeah. Well, that was the case, yeah. They said, we've no king now because we didn't revere the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they did have a king in their circumstances.
Yeah.
He couldn't do any good for them anyway. They make promises, they make many promises and take false oaths and make agreements. Well, that was the national system in a way. They were making all these treaties with the foreign nations and whatever, yeah. But I'd like to take it on a bit more of a local level. In society today, people make many promises, yeah, but how many of them can you believe? Guaranteed for 40 years.
Lifetime guaranteed.
Whose lifetime? The mouse's. So that's that deceitful heart again. It's just that you can't trust anything what people say. Well, brothers and sisters, you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
People ought to be able to believe what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Yeah. So they can't believe what they say. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in the ploughed field.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, lawyers have a good time on this one.
Well, they do.
Lawyers at it because the law, everybody's suing everybody else.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. Yeah. Oh dear, what a world. Yeah, and poisonous weeds.
Doesn't it say somewhere that Christians shouldn't sue?
Shouldn't sue. Take your brother to court.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is in Corinthians, yes. Some are taking others to court. And that in front of unbelievers, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you sort it out amongst yourselves without having to go to the lawyers,
Is that in your brother Christian?
Brother Christian, yes. So, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a ploughed field. Well, you know what? A ploughed field will poisonous weeds in. It's not good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth Avon. So Samaria is the capital, and the country of Samaria. And where is the calf idol? At Beth Aven. But it's not called Beth Aven. It's Bethel. Yes. Bethel means house of God. Beth Aven is the name they changed it to, which means house of sin. So they renamed the place, or the prophets have, to describe what it's like. It was the house of God. It isn't anymore. Its people will mourn over it. Why are they going to mourn over the calf idol of Beth Aven? Well, it tells you.
They're going to lose it.
Yeah, they're going to lose it. Yeah. And so will its idolatrous priests. So they're all going to be very sad coming up. Mm-hmm. Those who had rejoiced over its splendour, they're all going to be sad because it is taken from them into exile. Mm-hmm. It will be carried to Assyria as tribute for the great king. Mm-hmm. About that? Mm-hmm. This great big idol that they've been worshipping for centuries is going to be carted off and melted down over in Assyria. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you've got to carry your God's no good when it comes to you needing carried. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They should have thought of that, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Do you know, I was reading this morning about when Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant. It was captured by the Philistines.
Yeah.
And the Philistines took it into their temple in Ashdod, to the temple of Dagon, their god. Mm-hmm. And they got this statue of Dagon in their temple. Mm-hmm. And they put the ark next to it. Yeah. And in the morning they turned up and the ark. Yeah. Dagon's fallen down in front of the ark. So they prop him up again. Yeah. Yeah. So next day they come and his head and his hands have dropped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they eventually get the message. God is bigger than their god.
Yeah.
Do they turn to him?
No.
No. They just send the ark away and then make sure that they don't tread on the threshold of the temple of Dagon, because that's where his head fell on. The problem with these people was they hadn't realised they were worshipping the wrong god. Unlike the Philistines. I mean, they'd had a really incredible lesson that their god, Israel's god, is bigger than their god. Mm-hmm. I would choose the biggest god if I were you.
Yeah.
You know, get on the right side. Anyway, their idol's going to be carried off by the Assyrian. The Assyrians are going to come and clean the place out. That's what's going to happen, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Ephraim will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its wooden idols. So all this stuff's going to go. That's the problem. They're going to lose it all.
Mm-hmm.
Samaria, and what about this? This is a rather pretty image.
Yeah.
But Samaria and its king will float away like the twig on the surface of waters. He's going down.
Yeah.
They're going down the Swanee. Yeah, that's right. But what? One of the images of, or that the idea of that is that something that floats downstream, it doesn't leave any trace.
No.
It was there 1 minute, gone, and never to be seen again. Yeah. That's what's going to be happening with the king of Samaria, and that's literally what happened. They lost the kingdom, and they never had another king. The high places of wickedness will be destroyed. The high places of wickedness is Bethel again, that place. Yeah, that's where it is. And it says, the high places of wickedness will be destroyed. It is the sin of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What was the root cause of Israel's problem? Idolatry.
Yeah.
That's the sin of Israel, as it's called.
Yeah.
Idolatry. They substituted something created for the Creator.
Yeah.
And Paul says they're still doing it in Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't worship God, they worship the creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's around us all the time. And part of the creation is people, atheists, worship themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still worshiping the created thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas people who bow down to bits of wood and stone, they've substituted something for God. Anyway, it's the sin of Israel. What's going to become of the place? Thorns and thistles will grow up and cover their altars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Thorns and thistles will grow up.
That's derelict.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely derelict.
Yeah.
But there's a hint of something there. Where do the thorns and the thistles
grow up,
come
they
from?
They will grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the Garden of Eden at the time of the fall.
Yeah.
God said to Adam, the number one gardener, he said, because of your sin, the earth won't yield its fruit as it should do. Thorns and thistles have come up. The earth is cursed, in other words.
Yeah.
So basically, when the thorns and thistles come up, you'd say the ground is cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a garden like that, well...
like mine.
Yeah, there you are.
All right.
Many a year in the past, I haven't done a lot of gardening recently, but it's digging away and thinking, Adam, you shouldn't have done it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There you are. There you are. Right, last verse of this bit section. Then they will say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an interesting verse, very interesting verse, because it has several applications, really. Mm-hmm. First, let's look at our first application. Hosea is talking to this crowd of people, and the time's going to come when they'll say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. You know what that means? They want to die. Mm-hmm. Yes? They want to get away from the problems that are coming. And they think dying is going to be a means of getting away.
Yeah.
Well, we know it won't. They're going out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. Look, we want to die to get away from the trouble. Mm-hmm. Right, now then, Jesus talked about that verse in Luke 23, verse 30. Mm-hmm. And that is another fulfillment of it. 23, verse 30, if I can find it. Luke 23, verse 30. Jesus is talking about the destruction that's coming on Israel.
Yeah.
23 verse 30. Yeah. Have I got the right place here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. When he was taken to the crucifixion, he says, verse 28, he turned to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me.
No.
Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Mm.
If things are looking good now, wait till it gets bad.
Yeah.
And then you'll see how bad it really is. And when was it getting really bad for the people Jesus is speaking to there? AD 70.
Yeah.
Jerusalem was smashed completely by the Romans.
Yeah.
Yeah? And there were hundreds and hundreds of people were crucified. It was a massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So they would have preferred death ordinary than being got by the Romans.
Yeah.
And then we see it goes on further, because this is a prophetic verse. As I say, the interesting thing about Bible prophecy is it has local fulfillments, but that doesn't mean to say that it's all exhausted. It can move on in time as well. And so we had the local one for the people in Hosea's day. We see it fulfilled in AD 70. But if you go to Revelation 6:16, we're back into Revelation. You thought you got away from this book, didn't you? Yeah. 16. Yeah. Well, verse 15, yes, and so on. Now, I'm taking it, the way I've assumed is that the seals that we're looking at in chapter 6 is a run through the whole of time, and the last seal is at the end of time, and then it begins a recycle. But on this last bit, then the kings of the earth and the princes and the generals and the rich and the mighty and every slave and every free man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord comes back in judgment, those that don't know him will prefer death to facing him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one of the strangest verses in the Bible. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
You think Lamb's nice and gentle, easy and sweet? Yeah, well, you pick a fight with him,
yeah,
you'll find out it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
So this verse spans time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're getting at.
Well, he's quoting Hosea then, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, 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 quoting Hosea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Bible's it's one of the lovely things about the Bible, is it's a whole piece. You know, each bit connects somewhere in the way.
Yeah. And it proves that, you know, he's the same.
God's the author. Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. His ways of working are the same, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Since the days of Gibeah you have sinned, O Israel, and there you have remained. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The days of Gibeah. Can you remember the days of Gibeah?
Yeah.
What was Gibeah?
They were killed for the prisoner of Benjamites and dealt with that.
It's in the book of Judges.
Yeah.
It's in the book of Judges.
The rest of Israel turned against the Benjamites.
Yes, there was civil war against the tribe of Benjamin because of the immorality in Gibeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In Gibeah there was sexual immorality, homosexual behaviour and so on. It was a sin pit. And the Israelites turned on them eventually, on Benjamin, and just about wiped them out. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, did not war overtake the evildoers in Gibeah? Certainly did. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Wars are coming. Yeah. When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them and put them in bonds for their double sin. So the warning is, if I did it, and it's like we're saying, God doesn't change. Mm-hmm. If I did it because of the sin of Gibeah, mm-hmm. don't think you're going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. That's the same point God's making, yes. Sin will have its payback somewhere along the line. And he says he's going to bring nations against them and put them in bonds for their double sin. Mm-hmm. What's their double sin? Well, there are various commentators on this. I go with the heavyweights of Jerome and others besides. And it's in Jeremiah 2:13 is the double sin. Jeremiah 2:13. Israel has committed two sins, or Judah has in their case. What number did I say again? Two. Jeremiah 2:13. Two sins. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Essentially, the two sins are, one is they've turned from God, and the second sin is they've made their own gods. Yes, that's the two sins. Let's put it into modern terms. It's sins of omission and sins of commission. They've not done what they should do, and they've done what they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And it still happens today. Just think, because people say, you know, you share the gospel, and they say, well, I've never hurt anybody, I've never done any unkind things to anybody else. Yeah. And the Lord will say, okay, maybe you didn't, yeah, but have you done any good? Mm-hmm. You see, you've not done what you should.
But have you done?
Even if you haven't done the things that you shouldn't.
We should bring other people to the Lord.
It's part of our job, yes, to share the gospel. We can't, let's put it this way, we can't make people believe that they won't believe if we won't tell them.
We have to be a witness.
Be a witness, yeah. Right, okay, well, yeah, all right. But you've got the point. He's saying it's a double sin. Mm-hmm. To turn from God and to create all false gods. Yeah. And human beings will always do that. Yeah. If they haven't got the real God, they'll make one up.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
They think God in you anyway.
Right then, okay. On to the next verse. We're not finished the misery bit yet. We might even not get to the good stuff yet. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. Yeah. Now, the thing about a trained heifer is that it's a job that's quite a pleasant job for a heifer to thresh, because they're threshing the wheat and they're allowed to eat some of the stuff they're working on. Yeah? So basically, he's talking about there were prosperous times. Ephraim was in a time of prosperity at one time. Yeah. This is verse 11. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. He uses farming image. It would be lost on some people nowadays, but that's what it's about. Yeah.
The heifer is a young cow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Walks around and crunches out the grain and has a nibble away at the stuff while it's at it. Yes. Right. So that was what it was like. So I will put a yoke on her fair neck, and I will drive Ephraim, and Judah must plough, and Jacob must break up the ground. So he's saying, instead of walking around pleasantly, chomping away at the field, you're going to be working hard, ploughing.
Yeah.
In other words, God's going to turn what was a pleasant time for them into a hard time.
Yeah.
Hard labour is a coming.
Yeah.
You got the idea.
Right.
So for yourself, this is what his advice is. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Yeah. Well, how do you sow righteousness? Have you got any seeds called righteousness anywhere?
Yeah,
it's do what's right.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. Live the right way. Seek to please the Lord. Sow for yourselves righteousness, and you will reap the fruit of unfailing love. Reap what you sow.
Yeah.
Show kindness. It begins to work. God will bless you. That's the idea. Love it. Yeah. Break up your fallow and break up your unproud ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Yeah, until he comes and showers righteousness on you.
Know the Lord. Get
Well, he's asking us to break up the unploughed ground.
That's
people
don't know the Lord.
Yes, well, it is, but I'd like to suggest he's talking to some so-called believers here, not that they are, yeah. And he's saying to us, look, there are hard areas in your life that need softening up, basically. Mm-hmm. You need to break up, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Have you got the hard corners, you know, the hidden bits that God's not allowed into, type mm-hmm. of thing, is what he's getting at there, of course, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Break up the unploughed ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Yeah, well, that's definitely to the unbeliever, but it applies for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Until he comes and showers righteousness on you. So, seek God, and you'll find him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what you're going to do. Yeah. Right.
That's true, what you said. I mean, that is as much for the believer as the unbeliever,
yeah.
Because even the believer can be pulled away into the world, can't they?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect of that, of course, is the believer is not yet perfect.
No.
There are areas in our lives that God wants to work on.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
He wants to work on. So unploughed ground might be in your patch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, but he can work on it, yes. But you have planted wickedness. Yeah, they've done that. Have you met seeds called wickedness?
Yeah.
It's actions,
yeah.
deeds, unkindness,
yeah.
things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the result is you've reaped evil.
Yeah.
You've eaten the fruit of deception.
Yeah.
Yes? And because you've depended on your own strength and on your many warriors, that's what's going to, they're going to be, well, taken into captivity, even though they've got all this great army and all this strength. It's called self-reliance.
Yeah.
Do you depend on what you can do, how smart you are, what resources you've got,
yeah.
or is it God working in us and blessing
God
what we have?
Yeah?
It's got to be that. But they thought, we're okay, we've got a great army.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? That's the sad thing, we depend on the idea,
yeah.
it'll save us. Well, no, God will save them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how God, you know, there's something I was thinking, you know, when you get old, you can't do things you used to do.
Yes.
And I was reading...
Is that right?
I was reading the word this morning, and the last line on the word said, you can only do what you want,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of God will help you with.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Well, that's the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the Lord to help you there. Yes. Right. Oh, well. Because you've depended on your own strength and your many warriors, the roar of battle will rise against your people,
mm-hmm.
so that all your fortresses will be devastated, as Shalman devastated Beth Arbel in the day of battle, when mothers were dashed to the ground and with their children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, even if they got all this great power and all these reserves, he says it's not going to do you any good because they're all coming down. I'll destroy the fortresses, all the things you relied on. And he uses this illustration, Shalman, that's Shalmaneser, one of the Assyrian kings.
Yeah.
Beth Arbel, they're not entirely sure where that is, but it obviously got badly smashed by the Assyrian invasion. And you can see they were rather brutal people, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mothers dashed to the ground with their children.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
In those days, life was cheap, and in some parts of the world it still is. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thus, it will happen to you, O Bethel, because your wickedness is great. When that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, the southern kingdom, or no, the northern kingdom, with its calf idol and all that, is going to be destroyed. And when the day dawns, the king of Israel, it doesn't mean that particular king, it means the kingdom really.
Yeah.
The one king went, Hosea, he was called, last king, no more kings for Israel, but the whole kingdom disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be destroyed. That was chapter 10.
Yeah.
Now then, let's try a little nicer bit of stuff here. We're doing alright, yes. So he's going to do a bit of reminiscing to remind them of where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son.
Mm-hmm.
When Israel was a child, that means when it was in the first beginnings of its being a nation.
Yeah. Israel.
God loved them.
Yeah.
Yes. And he called them out of Egypt, didn't he?
Yeah, called them out everywhere.
He called them out from Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt.
All right. Yeah.
Right. That's if we're talking about Moses' time.
Yeah.
It's that God is adopting the nation of Israel as his people.
Yeah.
As his son, yes?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I've got here, when Israel was a child, I loved him as a son.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Yes, same idea, yes. Right? Interesting verse though, this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's an interesting verse?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, you can understand that the background he's saying is when Israel was first the nation, I loved them, and I brought them out of
loved
Egypt.
And
I made them mine, I made them my people.
Yeah.
And why did God call them to be his people? In order that they would be a light to the nations, and a blessing in the world, and so on. And we'll see that they didn't quite match up to that. But, there's a little bit, and we're coming up to Christmas, you know. Matthew quotes this verse.
Yeah.
When Jesus was a little baby boy, Herod decided he'd get rid of all the boys in Bethlehem. Yeah. So Joseph was warned in the dream, and he took Mary and the child to
Egypt.
And he stayed in Egypt until Herod's family died. Well, Herod had died, and then he came back. And he says, he came back from Egypt to fulfill the verse, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, what about that? Now, this is an interesting use of the scriptures again. Hosea is talking, no mention of Jesus at all. Hosea is talking about the nation. Yeah? But the nation runs through quite often some of the things that are prophetic of what's going to be happening to Jesus. Yeah? The Lord ordered the plan for Israel to reflect what was happening to his son in the end. Yes? And Jesus is the perfect Israel, you could say. He is the fulfillment of all that Israel was meant to be, in terms of sacrifice, in terms of fulfilling the law, in terms of being a light to the nations, all of those things. Jesus fulfills that. So Matthew takes that verse and says, that's Jesus as well. But we're back to the Israelites now. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they worshipped incense to images. How about that? And that's what did happen. God calls and blesses, and he says, the more I called. How did it? Well, actually, some of the old version says, the more they called. Yes. The they there, probably, well, I assume it means, it's referring to the prophets. God speaks through the prophets. The more they called, the further they the people went away. You got the idea, yeah? Sorry, you didn't say Louise, yeah?
In Marnie, it says, but the more I call to him, the more he turns away.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's still Israel, isn't it? Yes, you've got that. Yeah, how you use your pronouns. They sacrifice to the Baals and so on. Yeah. Now, this is a lovely image. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. Yeah, what did God do with Israel? He trained them, like little children, helping them to learn how to walk, and guiding and providing for them.
They didn't know it.
Well, they didn't seem to realize that. And he says, it was I who healed them. And that's a quote back to Exodus. I am the Lord that heals you. You do what I say, follow me, I'll keep all those diseases that were on Egypt off you. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. Right. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from off their neck and bent down to feed them. How about that? So God's talking about how he looked after Israel.
Like a baby.
All those things. Like a baby, yes. Led them with, I think of one of those baby trainers, you know, with the long straps on them. You keep a hold of them, yeah? So hold them up, yeah?
Keep them in check.
Led them with cords of human kindness. With ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck. He's using the animal image now. Instead of having to plough hard, he's easing the burden on them, yeah? Right. And I bent down to feed them. And how did he bend down to feed? It's condescension on God's part to bend down. You know.
But
for the Israelites we're talking about.
He sent the manna.
You don't get better food than manna. They got fed up with it, but it was very good food.
They got fed.
Yes. Now then, next verse is an interesting one. It says in my translation, will they not return to Egypt and will not Assyria rule over them? Better translation is, they will not return to Egypt, and Assyria will rule over them. That's really what's going to happen. They're not going back to Egypt. That was in the past, in a sense. But if they do go to Egypt, it won't be the Egypt down south. It'll be the bondage of Egypt in Assyria. That's the idea. Because they refuse to repent. Is that terrible? Refuse to repent. I'm not having God telling me what to do. Swords will, because of this, swords will flash in their cities and will destroy the bars of their gates. There's no security. There's war coming. And I put an end to their plans. How about that? There you are. You make all the plans. Got it all sorted out. There's a warning for us. James tells us. Woe to you who decide, I'll go to this city and I'll make business and earn a fortune, I'll do this and I'll do that, and I've all sorted out. He says, what you should say is, if the Lord wills, I'll do this and I'll do that. And Jesus told an amazing parable about the man with the bigger barns. A bumper harvest. Here you are, got it all sorted out, relax. And God says, sorry mate, you've had it, time's up. Right, put an end to the plan.
Here's somebody who's living proof of that.
Right.
I can tell you.
You're living proof, yes?
Yes, yes.
Ah.
I told the Lord what I was going to do.
Did you?
He went my way. He did his way in the end.
Always best.
Yes,
best.
Yes.
I found out. You don't tell God, you ask
Exactly, yes. Well, sub next, my people are determined to turn from me. And even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. They don't want to know God. They'll use God words. They'll say God stuff, but it's got nothing to do with God. So he's not going to do anything to exalt them. He's not going to help them.
Still going on today.
People do this.
Yeah,
I mean, people have enough, they have enough religion to inoculate them from the real thing.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. These are people that are willing to learn. Mm-hmm. They are people who want to please the Lord. Mm-hmm. These are people who couldn't care less.
Yeah.
But they'll just patch on a bit of God stuff to make it look nice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So verse 8, this is God speaking, and it's the strangest language in some ways. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me, and all my compassion is aroused. That's, we could say, God in two minds, in a sense. He's saying, I've got to punish your sin, but I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
How can I destroy you? I can't destroy you,
mm-hmm.
because I've called you
mm-hmm.
To be my people. So there's this sort of real tension we feel here. How can I give you a Ephraim? Well, he's not going to, but they're going to have a hard old time in the process. How can I endure? How can I treat you like Admah and Zeboim? You know what Admah and Zeboim are? Probably
cities of the plain.
Cities of the plain, they called them. They're next door to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Uh-huh.
And so they went up when Sodom and Gomorrah went up.
Uh-huh.
So the Lord's calling out here, I don't want to destroy you, I really don't. And verse 9, I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. I am God and not man, the Holy One among you.
Uh-huh.
That's God saying is,
I'm not you.
I'm not like you.
Yeah.
Just an interesting little phrase there, and I noticed the reading that we had. He says, for I am God and not mortal,
mm-hmm.
is one of them. That's really what he's getting at.
Yeah.
But I just want to offer you, this is an interesting thought. Some of the Bible translators today are avoiding the use of the word man.
Mm-hmm.
Our dear feminist friends get rather upset with the word man.
Yeah.
So they're putting in mortal instead.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Well, if it means mortal, that's all right. But if they're just doing it to get rid of the fact that it's a bloke instead of a woman, well, sad, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Don't mess up the Bible. Explain what it means, is what I'd suggest.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just a little giveaway for you.
Yeah.
I am the Holy One among you. That's the Lord. I will not come in wrath.
Right.
Yes, that's his final decision on the matter.
Amen.
Yeah. There now, listen to this, these are promises, this.
Mm-hmm.
They will follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He will roar like a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's going to roar.
Mm-hmm.
You use that, basically, it's going to be a pretty loud call.
Yeah. Well, I say goes.
Yes? And it'll carry to the ends of the earth. That's the other side of the thing that it's talking about.
The thing is, as well, is children will recognise his voice. I mean, it's the same as their father shouting, isn't it?
Yes.
We used to jump when my dad shouted.
Well.
Because, you know, we knew that he meant business.
Ah, right. Well, listen, they hear this one. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the earth. Right, there you are. Dad has just called.
Amen.
Yes. But the lovely thing about this is,
my family.
When they call, you should respond. Yes.
My children used to do the same to me.
That's God's effective call.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someday they will. These people are going to come home
mm-hmm.
to God. Yeah. And he says, they'll come. Now, this is the interesting bit about it, I'm saying. I would like to suggest, brothers and sisters, this is beginning to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, they'll come trembling from the west.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll come trembling like birds from Egypt. Where's Egypt?
South.
Yeah. Right. They'll come like doves, that means pretty fast.
Yeah.
From Assyria. Where's Assyria?
North.
Northeast.
Northeast.
Yeah. So you can say from all around, they're going to come back. And in fact, from all around the world, we can say now, and I will settle them in their homes. Right. Coming home to God, coming home to Jesus. That's the promise.
Thank God.
Working on it. Yes. Of course, he's calling Gentiles too, from all around the world. But he's obviously talking about the Jews here. They're coming back to him and responding to him. Lord, do it. And it, just to say, dear friends, there's a last little bit there. Louise's reading was rather nice. What was the last end of that verse 11, Louise, again?
I will bring them to their homes again. I, the Lord, have spoken.
I, the Lord, have spoken. It's just two words in the Hebrew. It declares the Lord. In other words, this is it. God's made his commitment. He says, I can't give you up. I'm determined to get you back.
I'll get you.
Right. Well, he's done that for you, hasn't he?
Just proves how important words are.
Yes.
I was just thinking that, going back to 9, I will not completely destroy you.
Yeah.
What to me about that is, that actually happened, because those, the remnant, who were listening to God's word, they were able to get out before they were utterly destroyed.
Yes.
And that happened in
Jerusalem. In Jerusalem.
That's right, in Jerusalem.
Yes. And in the time of Hosea, the exile was in phases, and in Jerusalem was in phases. Yeah. So the goodies were taken out, like Daniel and Ezekiel, and preserved, the remnant, as you say, and the rest had to face the music. Yeah.
That's amazing, because what I didn't realise was that the Romans had come before in 68, surrounded it, and they were all in there, they had escaped. But they had to stop there because they didn't have sufficient provision, didn't they?
Right.
So they had to go back away, get more provisions, and in that time...
Left the door open.
That's right.
What you said before, I didn't get it in Jeremiah, is that what you said is that just the comparison there.
Which
he
bit
says he'll not carry out his fierce anger, which is one extreme, but when I say something, you'll
do it! No messing, yes. So. Well, we've got three more chapters. Three not long ones, reasonably cheerful.
Okay.
So we'll try and complete that next time. This will be the last time next week before the new year. All right. So let's pray, shall we? And thank the Lord. He's committed to saving Israel, and we're included in the blessings as it sounds out around the world. Lord, thank you for being the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Yes, Lord. Thank you for being the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. And thank you, Lord, for being a God of justice, that you don't tolerate sin, and yet you can forgive the sinner because Jesus paid the price. So, Lord, we come to you and pray. We may not be unplowed fields, hard-hearted, resisting to you, Lord, setting up false gods in imaginations, Lord, rather than worshipping you, the living God. Lord, these are sad things that still continue in this world. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, in all your majesty and power, and make your name to be known by your Spirit working in our world in these days. Lord, help us and keep us, and help us, Lord, to be faithful to you in this godless world in many ways, Lord, this godless world. May we be people that shine for Jesus and cause others to want to seek your face. Help us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.